Greetings and welcome to Grunt Podcast, a thing that you listen if you like adventure games, art, literature, music, game development and everything in between. In this episode we will deviate from the game development completely, and that was always the idea behind this podcast, to have guests from different walks of life, because rarely one is interested in just one thing. So, today we are having a chat with the legendary Fenris from Darkthrone. As you might know, Grund is inspired by black metal ambience. So why not to talk with a man who not only was a pioneer in this genre, but continues to be decades later. As in every episode, we are not going to deep into specifics. This time it could be bands, riffs, recording numbers. We will have a chat about life and Fenris's view on it. While editing this episode, I just got amazed how much he actually shared with us. So yeah, give it a double listen maybe. Believe it or not, this is his first audio interview in around 4 or 5 years, so I'm very, very thankful to him for that. And Chandy, you're the best as well. Apart from this, it is the first podcast episode that comes after our Kickstarter, which, thank you, was successful. Thank you all who supported Grund so far. Got even contacted by a publisher for PC and Xbox and PS. We'll have a chat with them later this week, I guess. Who knows? So yeah. And don't forget, Grund is surreal sci-fi narrative-driven adventure game where your choices matter. Follow us on Twitter, join our Discord. All links you can find in the show notes and on grund.com. Anywho, take it away, Discord call sounds. Hello, Fenris.
Hello, Olofs.
Thank you for agreeing to this slightly gaming flavored chat.
It will no doubt be underwhelming answers, as I have a little experience in gaming.
Oh, we'll go into the music stuff soon enough. No doubt about that. I have no idea where I get this notion from. Information passes through one's ear so fast. You're not a big tech aficionado, apart from music side of things, I presume. Is it true? In any case, have computer games entered your life at all?
I am not a big tech aficionado overall, not even in music. It was just a few years when I was playing drums that I actually knew what kind of cymbals and drums that I had. Wasn't really interested in the technical aspect. I never knew what kind of guitars I played on, or equipment didn't interest me much, or knowing how it worked at all. And when it came to gaming, I had a friend that was also involved in my first band, Jürgen Thoresen. He was the first that had the Commodore 64, and I could play games at his place. He had a cartridge for that very early game where you just landed a moon vessel and then scramble. And then I had to watch him play like 5 times, and I could maybe try 1 time. And then I got my own Commodore 64. Which was, of course, flawed, so the scrolling didn't work, and that's where my difficulties and unluck with the technical appliances started. And when I bought my first guitar, that had to be fixed, and the amp wasn't giving me the kind of sound that I wanted, because I wanted the Metallica chug-chug, and a little PV amp wasn't good for that. I didn't know how to get the sound I wanted. And the interest for the technical aspect of getting there was never there at all. I just let coincidences take me along. So computer games entered my life anywho, and I played a lot of Commodore 64 games. A lot, like Fort Apocalypse, winter and summer games, and just your normal run of games. And it gave me a lot, but it didn't give me anything like artistically. but I kept on wanting to play on spare time, and buying the Nintendo machines and also the PlayStation machines and handheld Nintendo, where I would just play like Mario, Yoshi, Golf Simulator. And I ended up being the biggest fan of a couple of versions of the Mario Kart. And after that, I haven't really played, and it was on and off until the 2000s, so I haven't played for like 10 years now. And I try maybe a little bit to see if the spirit is there from playing some games on the phone, but I'm playing like Zelda again and stuff, and but it interest lasts for like 15 minutes and I'm gone. It's not there anymore, and that's how I experience life. I just have different periods of stuff that will interest me in different periods of life, and then afterwards it's gone. It's not even cool to revisit. It's not like that with old metal from the 80s though, because that's what I will always return to.
I am an avid listener of your Patreon podcast, and it sometimes amazes me how well you know your stuff in terms of this long forgotten demo tape I got from the year 1987, March the 2nd. It was a Monday, and the breakfast juice tasted particularly good.
You're overdoing it, Olaf.
Yeah, that's because I have written this down. Anywho, you know the dates and circumstances so well. This suggests you're deep into things, the stuff you're doing. How much time do you have left to other aspects of life?
Well, it was always plenty. The demos that I'm playing, like when I can remember that well, is the first demos that I received, and those are the ones that are formative, and the experience will be massive, and you will most likely have a lot of memories to that. And then there's the 90s, where I remember fine little. I also didn't have any times for hanging out with any friends or partying or anything like that in the 80s. It was all about school or work or just metal and getting my own band, and then writing interviews and having contact with the underground scene. It was pretty intense and formative years, bound to remember them. And then again, periods of life since the 80s, I have plenty of time left to do whatever now, but I'm usually just watching stuff, movies or series or whatever. I have a wide variety of stuff that I like to watch, from art movies on Mubi to stupid, you know, house flipping shows. Broad interest, of course. 50 years old. When it comes to music, the time I had for it was 5 first years when I was working. We couldn't listen to music at work there, so it would be just in breaks or in the commute back and forth from work, and then maybe a little bit more. I would usually just try to watch interesting stuff and just work the band onwards until 93, 94, when I started listening to music at work on a headset, and then it was a total overindulgence for 25 years. So that came to sort of a halt in 2018, and suddenly just fizzled out. So I'm trying not to listen to too much music now. Also, when I got burnt out in 96, I was pouring too much music out of my head and started to fill my head with music instead, so it would balance like that. So it was really intense from 96 to 2018, always with a headset on. And other stuff, well, there's periods in life as well, you know, a lot of skiing and hiking, and then was hiking with tents, was also a long period. It's too much to summon up. I've got like 30 minutes, and we gotta go through this. I got plenty of time for other stuff. Sure, these days reading news 3 to 6 hours a day. And I've never really been alone until like since 1991. So there have been female company, and then you just don't sit around listening to old demos. You just watch stuff on TV or just hang out and do chores or whatever.
Would you consider trying out something?
I want to read news these days. I don't want to play a game. Like, intellectually, I know I don't want to play games. I'm not switching the time. I need to stay. I feel these days I need to just follow up everything. And also, as I can read news from around the world, sure, but as local as possible is great. I also had a long run of being on Facebook social media, which took up a lot of time. So I guess a lot of that addiction then just poured into checking out news all the time. And half of it I will read on my phone, and half of it there will be physical newspapers and magazines.
I do not mean like shootery, jumpy things, maybe, but the ones with a deep narrative and lore. I think you, as a lyricist, you could actually enjoy them and get something out of them for yourself.
Yes, but I don't want to be inspired like that. The way I usually, not always, but usually fetch my lyrics is exhausting. And to keep it in a certain style, I will have to just continue doing it the way I'm doing it. And when a lyric is done, I am done with it. I don't want to go into it again, and I will have to wait until next time. I'll have to go fetch a lyric, and that space in my mind is not something I want to be connected with more than I need to. Whenever I get a kick out of something, then it really gets me, and it could be a long period of my life checking in with that. And at this moment, I'm sort of I'm doing the podcasts now way too much that I originally wanted. I originally knew that I only wanted to do one show a month. Now I'm doing four shows a month, so I've got enough on my plate.
Sure, yes. If we talk more theoretically, what's your take on the music as the power of it? Sometimes the ambience is almost as a separate storyteller, or at least as a can be as good. Sometimes it can be like a co-teller of sorts. Can it be too strong?
Can it be, it's a sort of co-teller of sorts, yes, just like in a movie. Can it be stronger than words? Well, music can. Some music is like, some seconds of some music can almost feel like throwing yourself off a cliff or tearing your heart out. Usually it's not like that. Lucky if you can experience that, but if music was that intense all the time, it must be like being born without skin.
Are there good or bad timing for this? To use this tactic?
Probably you want all the time, but then again, I watch a lot of movies, but I don't want to know how it was made. You could see, let's say that I watch 10, 15 movies a week, and I've been watching a lot of movies, obviously, then throughout my life, but I'm really bad at checking out the end credits or checking out who was the director and stuff like that doesn't interest me. Again, the technical aspect is not something that I'm interested in, because then it would take the magic away from me. And when I started making music myself, I noticed then I'm stripping a lot of it for its magic, and I don't want that to happen to me again. And so not with TV series, not with any behind production I don't want to know.
Words tell story. That's their main purpose, and in a songwriting, of course, those are the song's lyrics. How do you work on them? What comes first, sound, idea for lyrics, words themselves? Do you place lyrics in a second plan of the composition?
Hello, I'm famous for not going into my lyrics, and I feel every time I do, I give a little to the ones that ask the question, but then I just disappoint a lot of others, including myself, for answering anything. As a kid, I was really into the lyrics for the first Candlemass album and the Two Megatherium album from Celtic Frost, and I don't want any explanations on any of the Two Megatherium lyrics at all. It would just take all power out of it. And I also had to leave those lyrics behind. Like, I can't really take them out and study them now, because just my vague memory of how good they were will inspire me to write lyrics to some sort of poetic, you might call it, plane where stuff can be put and my lines can dwell on and evolve upwards and also downwards from that plane, and then I go deep inside my mind, just use my imagination as well.
Not ever.
I can't, but again, there's periods in my life. Sometimes it's a 35-year-long career now. I didn't write lyrics the same way always, but in general, they're on a plane that it's not fit to comment. It just takes all the air out of it. It's just a lot of hot air.
Could we say that you treat lyrics more like an instrument that produces sound? That's my professional term, of course, here.
Well, I noticed then that on Spotify you can now have lyrics to the songs. I noticed that on the John Arch project he has with another guy from the Fates Warning, and that was really extremely helpful actually. But as a lyricist, I don't want to check out too much lyrics. I'm not done being inspired by what's always been inspiring me, and I want to see how long. It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer just takes the used car and see how long it can run on the gas, like checking out the meter. Oh, it's on no gas, but it's still running. I want to see how long, and I can go until I would need some new inspiration or something like that.
What about the impending? No, but what about conflicts? Possible conflicts between those entities.
The listener barely sees, hears anything else. The thing is, we have ruffian vocals, and so the words will not come through as strong as the lyrics has to be strong, and then it will have the vocals it has. And I just leave it to Ted. He chooses what songs they're on, and how to sing them, and everything like that. I lose complete control of my lyrics after they're done. This point,
but they can eat apart each other sometimes.
Maybe for if we didn't have rough vocals, maybe. But then again, I'm thinking with Kate Bush, great lyrics, great vocals, and great music. That would be the goal for everyone, right? But you can't. But I'm thinking if you would have really typical, clear vocals on top of metal, then you could quickly get into a situation where the lyrics will be crashing with the music, but I'm thinking we don't really do that in Dark Throne. Although we have Ted has mentioned some squirrel, and I also have some animal that usually wouldn't fit or word that wouldn't fit with the heavy really heavy Dark Throne music, but it's gonna fit because the vocals are rough and people expect a little bit of unusual things in between seldomly in our styles.
Okay, down with that battle. Now for me, for example, there's some short-term goals, like releasing the game. Meanwhile, I thoroughly enjoy things in between, like learning new stuff, meeting people, getting the life lessons. Some experiences are properly shitty. As long as long-term goals go, I have only vague idea, and they are subject to change. And what's most important is in your music journey. What's most important for you? And if you don't mind me asking, for you as a human being, whole, overall, how's the journey so far?
In between projects, I don't really learn new stuff. I learn a lot of new stuff doing the podcast since I'm checking out up on the bands that I've always been digging and some that I've never been digging, but I'm learning new stuff all the time. I don't have to meet people, which is important for me. Getting damn life lessons, there are none to be learned. It's all routine. And the shitty experiences are long gone since I've been carefully honing my life to avoid these kinds of things by becoming a hermit and also not being reachable. I'm unreachable.
So far?
Journey so far has been filled with music, too much music. In 2018, I have been overdoing it. I've been filling my life with music since 93, 94, when I could listen to it on a headset always. Then more in 96, when I got burnt out and decided to fill my head with music instead of pouring the music out of my head. I'm always saying that wrong. And then 2014, I decided to join the journalistic carousel of promos to see what they were listening to instead of the more underground tips that I was always relying on. And then I overdid that, 600 albums a year, give or take, for 5 years in a row, and making podcasts out of it, playing just news. I was done. I wrapped it up. No need for a lot of new music, although, you know, 2019, you can check my playlists every year. There's a lot of, not new music, but new old music on those, on Spotify. It's called like Fenris 2021, Fenris 2020, Fenris and so on. But I'm getting less and less time. I'm working less and less, so I'm listening to less and less. The journey has been overwhelming. That's my problem. Normal people would be portioning out like normal dinners of music every year, but I've been just overdoing it for the last 25 years until 2018. And then, well, I decided, okay, I'm going to...
Now, what about Darkthrone?
I'm noticing that Darkthrone is more inspired by Darkthrone itself. I mean, Ted, the other guy in Darkthrone, had always been inspired by just making stuff. It's got no inspirations, it seems. I don't, he's really deep subconscious or something on his half. But I'm always making a riff and I'm hearing, what's this riff? And then I will, if I don't immediately hear what it is, I will later after the album is out. Anyway, I started noticing that we were more inspired by ourselves, or maybe less even by ourselves, but then inspired by ourselves or our inspirations from 1988, which is back to the drawing board for us, more or less. And so I figured, okay, this is working. We have a new chapter in Darkthrone, which is the chugging, the chug. So yeah, we'll start doing more Darkthrone stuff. And then I decided at the same time, working less and then listening less to new music, and at the same time I was really getting into listening to podcasts as well, talking podcasts from Sweden and Norway, and that would leave me with far less new music to check out, and I'm good with that. I have to deal with the overabundance of music that I've listened to for so many years, and those are the podcasts that I'm dishing out. And in addition, I could also dish out some podcasts about other types of music that are not related to fuzz guitars, but I'll wait until someone asks me about doing that for a considerable amount of money.
Ooh, well mapped out, sir. We could say you've been your own teacher again and again.
I don't think I learned much. I didn't set out to play music to learn a lot. I guess a lot of people have had really bad record deals and they went touring for 30 years and learned that it was shit. That's a tough life lesson. I just avoided that. I rather wanted to not meet a lot of people, which you, what you have to do when you're touring, and just sit in my sandbox making stuff, making projects.
And that will be what's your favorite color type of question, obviously, but sometimes one can hear new ways others get inspired by, and there sometimes are the smallest and most odd things which are interesting. How about you?
It's of course everything. Lyrically, it's my old inspirational sources combined with reading some historic or weird geography, nature, stuff will inspire me. It did in the beginning, and for 30 years it didn't inspire me. Now we're back to that. Maybe write about some historical fact, like the human catapults of 1346. That could inspire me, and that's something I just would see googling or seeing on various shows like QI. It's an interesting show on BBC. But I'm checking out all kinds of shows and reading all kinds of news. It doesn't inspire me in a lot of ways. Maybe one fantastic part of a sentence in the movie will inspire me to go like, I could write a lyric about that, but I'll just watch the movie. I won't take notes. But if I'm watching a movie and suddenly, boom, I get a riff out of like lightning from a clear sky, I will usually go and hum it into my recorder or play it on guitar and then record the guitar into the recorder. But since February 2019, I've had so many riffs coming that this actually happened last night while watching Superman 4. I'd never seen that before from 87. And then I decided, oh, okay, that's a pretty good riff I got going there. Thank you from the riff gods, but I will not hum it into my recorder because I have too many riffs already. Had too many riffs, had too many friends, have too much music, and I want just alone time instead. And finally, I'm getting a lot of alone time. It's so easy to answer when you're 18 and you have a lot less filled up in your brain than now when you have like a whole life of stuffs in your head.
You have multiple projects running. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I do.
Some longer, some not so long, some shorter, some more demanding. Do you finish them all?
Of course I finish everything. Why wouldn't I finish everything? A lot of it is on contract, so you want to finish everything, or you're pretty much fucked. It's economy a bit. It goes well into all of this as well. And you'll have to not just finish, but secure yourself and also family, perhaps, persons around you, perhaps. You want to secure podcasts that takes up most of my work. It's not on contract. But they are the longer projects that certainly have no end date. Like they are like, they're going until they will just crumble or I die. But you finish every episode anyway. But you always feel like, oh, can I do it? You have a low self-esteem. It also feels like that in front of albums as well. Like if you're hearing especially music you haven't heard before, for me, before going into studio, you're thinking, oh, man, how are they doing it? And you're thinking of yourself like, ah, you're just a primitive little fuck. Yeah, how can you even battle this? so my and I have to check in on some new music because of the podcast, so that's not so cool for my self-esteem to do before going into the studio. Anyway, I will also try to do it on purpose to lower my self-esteem, so we don't go in all cocky in the studio, because I'm thinking that's wrong for me. It's not the way I work. It's more neurotic for me. I'm a neurotic dude.
Kudos on that, sir. Not everybody has that drive, really.
I'm dutiful and diligent, and always been at work as well. I will meet the claim that they set for me, and I will do the claim 10% more, 20% more, 30% more. Dutiful in that manner. What I'm not dutiful is trying to set up meetings and I, the most beautiful thing I know is having an empty calendar, like months ahead. That's a thing of beauty for me. Other people probably get stressed if they have like literally nothing on their calendar. That's just a dream situation for me.
Well, we kind of all know your political career thing. What else was so? What else was considerably off beaten path for you? What have you done or participated in?
Well, not that much. There's been a lot of TV shows that asked me. But I've said no, of course. I'm thinking, usually when I've been filmed, I regret it. And now I've put myself in a position where I'm shielded from all the questions of, can you do this, can you do that? Smartest thing I ever done. The political career was not a career, it was just being a local politician, which isn't a career. It's just like helping out and doing a lot of dull work and learning a little bit about what your home turf, how it's run and stuff like that. Also, some years into the process, the borough I was in was joint with another borough, which is really unpopular here in Norway as a whole, but especially here, because the local politicians that are in one borough are there because they care about their borough, not the other borough that it's joined in with. And then, you know, when it's joint, you don't need as many politicians. So most local politicians get out because it's not interesting anymore. And I was one that just left.
Obviously, I have played with an idea of having you as a voice actor within Grund, since we do have a Dark Throne Easter egg already in. But generally, would you even consider such a thing, asking for a friend, of course?
Firstly, my voice is shit! And secondly, this is a sort of questions that will just... It's enough for me just getting the question. And then it will loom and rumble about in my head for months and months. It will leave me with a bad conscience because I'm always saying no, like I couldn't like help out. But the thing is, it just throws me off balance enormously just getting the question. And it throws me enormously off focus for what I'm really here to do. And that's just sitting in my sandbox creating music, lyrics, or podcasts. So I wouldn't do it because it's like it would eventually be some sort of hassle that would interfere with the really total calm I need around doing four times as many podcasts as I want to do.
Oh, that was the most polite way somebody has told me off. Kudos on that, sir. I'm gonna roll a smoke. Do you smoke?
No, I didn't. I stopped in 2003, 2004, and in Norway, a lot of us just switched to mouth tobacco. Those years also was like, or maybe a couple of years before, it was allowed, not allowed anymore to smoke inside venues or pubs and bars here in Norway. So it would just be really stupid to continue smoking. We just use mouth tobacco called snus here in Scandinavia. And you just put those in, maybe get a little buzz, and then you get addicted to it and you just feel stupid. I used that in 1990 before I started smoking. So I just went back to snus 13 years later. And I still use that, but it just feels like really stupid. But you gotta die of something and you gotta use your money on something. And what gets me through the day anyway.
And something stronger than tea?
Yeah, drink some beer. But I'm getting tired of it. as of late, I'm getting more and more tired of it, actually. It came as a surprise to me. I thought it would I would never get really bored of it, but I'm kind of bored. It's a routine. Strange, you thought something you never get tired of, you actually get a little bit tired of. Weird. But then also getting really into beer here in Norway is stupid because it's really expensive. And then getting into like sour beer and real beer that has more than 4.5% alcohol, you have to go to certain places called the Vinmonopole, which are only open for strong drinks. Beers are not cold. The beers are extremely expensive, and you're always like risking that next time you go there, they won't have the drink that you found last time, which is your new favorite. And then sour beer, expensive sour beers that are spontaneously yeasted, they have limited editions, so you find like the best beer ever, and then you'll never find it again. It's just a long hurdle of frustration being interested in alcohol in this alcohol hostile country called Norway.
All right, I have my smoke here and I'm raising my imaginary stupidly expensive beer from Norway, and I want to tell you huge thank you for agreeing to this chat. I'm certain that I am not the only one. I'm not the only one who truly admires you and waits for either new stuff created by you or old stuff finally shown us by you.
That must be old metal by others, because there's not a lot left in the vaults that have not been released that I've been participating in.
Thank you for your time and trust, especially for audio format, which is, well, rare.
Thank you, but the underwhelming answers that I gave, at least there's an upturn in all of this, and that's why I actually did it, which is not bad. As I've completely stopped doing phoner interviews, because then you have to really give away personal information to journalists and others, and that's a no-no these days. Also, it's much better. I've always been more into writing interviews. It's been a routine since 88. So all interviews that are sent me are pretty much all, and absolutely all of them, except for this one, the last 4 or 5 years, has been written.
Thank you, and well, proper goodbyes.
So it is written, so it is done. Thank you, this has been Fenris.
So, this is it. Oh, shut up. So, this is it. Now go outside and play. It's no good to sit inside all the time. Let the freezing wind touch your face for a change. It's actually really freezing here. Join our Discord. Follow us on Twitter, and if you are a new listener, check out Grund Demo on Steam and itch.io. Bye. Bye.